So let's talk a little bit about how you're incorporating the TailorX data into your practice. And so let's talk about, again, node negative patients. Let's start with postmenopausal. And let's start at the bottom, you know, a good recurrence score and move your way up. Can you just kind of talk about what numbers you're looking at and what number will cause you to give chemotherapy?
In the postmenopausal patients, I would not consider chemotherapy until they were 26 or higher. And then I would, because another analysis done of B20 that took out the HER2 positive patients and used a cut point for high as above 25 had the same huge split in the curve for plus minus CMF as the original B20 data that used the cutoff of 30 but had HER2 positive patients in there. So that's persuasive data that if you give chemotherapy to patients 26 and above, that they'll benefit. But you know, it's interesting, Neil. One counter argument to that is that if you look at the curves in the TailorX and the postmenopausal all the way up to 25, there's not any blue space between those curves, Neil. They're not pulling apart at all up to 25. And so why do I think the 26 is any different? You know what I mean? So that's really important. And frankly, I would have that conversation with a patient, of course. You know, I would look at all the characteristics of her cancer, and I would not give her chemotherapy if she had more favorable characteristics. But we don't really know what to do, truthfully, Neil, between the 25 and the 30. But there was this reanalysis, as I said, of B20 that was done to try to help us with that. And there's a big separation between tamoxifen plus minus CMF incorporating those patients. But again, you know, the data are predominated by those over 30. You know, there's only a smaller percent, you know, smaller numbers of patients that were between 26 to 30. So it's a bit of a dilemma. But, you know, in general, I'd be looking to give the patient some chemotherapy in general if they were 26 and above, because usually you're going to be picking up some adverse characteristics like some, you know, higher grade or higher proliferation or PR negativity, et cetera. So there'd be other signposts. But I would definitely take into account the pathologic characteristics of the cancer. But in postmenopausals, I would not be giving anybody else chemotherapy. And then if they had a very low recurrence score under 11, what that means to me is that they have a cancer that has very, very low metastatic potential, and that I would, generally speaking, be super comfortable giving those patients only 5 years of endocrine therapy and stopping would be the implications of that. And then between 11 and 25, at least 5 years of therapy, and we're debating who needs 7 years per ABCSG 16 trial, for example, or who needs 10 years, you know, et cetera. So we're still debating that, but that's the group that I consider longer duration endocrine therapy for.
And how about the premenopausal node negative patient in terms of recurrence score? When do you give chemo?
Basically, I'll talk to the patient. If she's 16 to 25, I'll talk to her about chemotherapy. The TailorX provided us with very good numerical estimates of benefit with regard to distant disease-free survival. And so I'll talk to the patient about that, and I'll make a recommendation based on the absolute magnitude of benefit for distant disease-free survival, but also the overall characteristics of her cancer and how worried I am about the cancer. And I'll lean her, you know, if she's 20 and above, that's a big benefit from 6% in terms of distant disease-free survival. So I'm clearly going to recommend chemotherapy there. It was only 2% for the 16 to 20, and so it was only 2%. So there I'm going to have to individualize it based on other pathologic characteristics and then, of course, patient preference.